This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.
Grab that cuppa and sit down for Conversations with the Mayor. Join in now as Taran speaks with our region's leaders.
Kia ora and welcome back to Conversations with Amir on Access Radio Taranaki. My name is Taryn and today we have the lovely Neil Voltsky in the studio with us. Kia ora, Neil.
Yeah, kia ora, Taryn, and nice to be back.
It's so lovely to have you back. You've just come off a pretty intense campaign in Stratford and it's nice to have you back in the hot seat.
Yeah, well, it certainly was intense and it's one of those experiences you have in life sometimes that you're glad that it's over, and that was one of them. So, it makes it a little bit more rewarding to be back here, knowing that that you've got a mandate and there's still support for you within the community.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And did I read that you are now New Zealand's longest-serving current mayor?
Yeah, that's correct. I'm not sure it's a title that I actually ever set out to to get, but as it turns out, that is the case. And so I'm not sure that it makes too much difference other than the fact it's a good story for the grandkids at some stage. I've taken a bit of ribbing over that, of course. And yes. At the end of this term, I'll be 19 years as mayor, and I've had a couple of terms before that as councillor. So that's a fairly good innings, and that's a good place to stop at the end of this term.
Yeah, so you'll be stopping it there. This is our last term to enjoy you.
Well, if I keep saying it enough publicly, then I can't go back on it, right? So that's part of the plan, and as a result of that, I'll be sticking to it.
Yeah, and I did meet your lovely wife the other evening at the Taranaki Business Awards with the Chamber of Commerce, and she made mention that it was definitely your last term.
So
she's going to hold you to that.
Yeah, she mentioned that to me as well, and it's definitely the last year.
Oh, well, we will enjoy your wisdom and insight and leadership while we have it, Neil.
Yeah, well, thank you, and I'm looking forward to the next 3 years in the role. So.
Yeah, cool. Now, what did you do, just out of interest, before you came into local government?
Oh, well, I've done quite a number of things, actually. You know, they say that your career takes three or four turns during your working life, and I've certainly done that. I started out as a radiographer in my very early days.
Wow.
And I worked in that role probably for about 15 years or so. And then I had a little stint in business where I owned my own business, a retail shop in Stratford. And I've also worked in a school as an exec officer and also as a chief executive of a rest home and retirement village complex.
Oh, wow.
So I've done a few things.
Yeah. You definitely have done a few things.
Yeah.
That radiographer is interesting.
Yeah. Well, it goes back a bit and I enjoyed it, but it was just one of those things that sometimes you just feel that you want to change, and I did. And then after that, I just sort of didn't really have the inclination to go back. So But I still watched it develop over the years, and some of the technology nowadays wasn't even thought of when I was actively engaged there.
That's so interesting. Did you grow up in Taranaki?
Yes, born and bred local, and had a little bit of time away, obviously studying and working elsewhere, but the bulk of the time I lived my life in Taranaki.
Yeah, cool. And raised your children here as well.
Yep, three children and seven grandchildren.
Aww, cute. That's lovely.
Yeah.
And a dog called Lulu.
Who is probably better known now than she was at the start of the election campaign.
Yes, and there was a lovely photo of her in your story about your win. She looked very cute.
Yeah, she's very cute, very friendly. Yeah.
What type of dog is she?
She's a Cavoodle, which is a cross between a King Charles Cavalier and a poodle.
Oh, no wonder she's cute.
Yeah, so she is, and she's got a real personality. Yep.
The little dogs always do, don't they?
Yeah.
I've got a Shih Tzu.
Oh,
she's got a lot of personality.
Yeah.
What she lacks in size, she makes up for in personality.
Yep, yeah, they tend to. But she's a good little dog, and only thing is her ears don't work very well sometimes. But,
yeah,
but
yeah.
Other than that, she's all good.
So small eardrums for those small dogs.
Must be, yeah.
Now, Neil, I know you've been in local government for a very long time, but at the start of this season, each time we talk to one of our new mayors or chairs, we're learning a few things about them for people who may not have had a kōrero with you before.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to start with, what's your favourite lolly?
Favourite lolly? Well, I don't buy a lot of lollies, but I kind of like licorice sticks.
Yes, good
and
choice.
And I've got a real pigeon for wine gums and those little aeroplanes, you know.
They've
been around forever, but they still taste great. Yeah.
So if you like licorice sticks, then your favourite colour jelly bean would be a black one?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Yeah, me too. That's my favourite, black jelly bean.
Yeah.
Yum.
Yeah.
Aniseed wheels are one of my favourites.
Yep. Anything aniseed is good. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. And what about your birthday, Neil?
I was born in December, so I've got a birthday coming up.
You are a Christmas baby.
Yeah, just before Christmas, actually, 16th of December.
16th of December. Oh, yeah. Cool. So what star sign does that make you?
That makes me a Sagittarius.
Yeah, nice. Cool.
And, of course, Sagittarius are supposed to be known for their quest for learning and inquisitive nature, and the sort of lifelong learning thing is the part of Sagittarius. I think that describes me reasonably well, actually.
Yeah, well, I think with the range of jobs you've had, that definitely describes you quite well.
Yeah. Well, certainly in this one, the mayoral role, it's an ongoing learning experience.
Yeah,
almost every day there'll be something different. So it's one of the things that people asked about during the election campaign. Why do you keep doing the same job for so long? Well, you know, I say to them, it's the same title, but it's not the same job.
Yeah.
You know, the job changes a lot, and I'm sure my colleagues would tell you the same, that what they do now is not the same as 6 months or 12 months ago or beyond that. Yeah.
And the thing is as well that the people you do that mahi with change.
Yes, yeah, the individuals change and the role changes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you've got four or five new councillors around the table with you this
time,
don't
we've
you?
Got, well, last election we had five new ones out of 11.
Oh, wow.
And this election we've got four new ones out of 11. So there's actually been a lot of change, and there's also a new deputy mayor as well.
Yes.
So, overall, a little bit less experience than we've had in previous elections.
Yeah.
But, you know, people are keen to learn, and there's a high degree of enthusiasm amongst them, so things should go well.
That's good. Yeah. While we're here, tell us about your new deputy. Why did you pick her?
Her predecessor didn't stand at the election this time, so there was a vacancy there. And Councillor Amanda Harris, the person who's been appointed to that role. And Amanda's been on council 6 years. She's and her husband are sheep and beef farmers out near Wonga Momina, quite a way out of town, about an hour's drive from Stratford, And she's a very good and capable councillor. She's a good debater, a good thinker, and it helps having a mix when you've got the rural-urban thing, which we have together. Of course, male-female is a nice little balance there. And she also touches into the different demographic age-wise than I do as well. So, you know, she ticks a few boxes in that respect, but absolutely in terms of ability, she's a standout.
Oh, cool. Awesome. I look forward to seeing her in action this term alongside you.
Sure. Yep.
Now, the other thing I wanted to know, favourite music, favourite band, what do you listen to?
Oh, that's a bit tricky. I like most sorts of music. Probably a couple that I'm not so keen on might be rap music. I just don't like it, full stop. And I don't like electronically generated music very much.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not a fan of that.
Those are the two things I probably don't like, but in terms of other genres, most music I enjoy, depending on the mood. But probably if I had a band, one band that I'd pick, might be perhaps the Eagles,
who've
always been a good favourite and still are.
Oh, they are so good. But the song Desperado.
But, you know, different moves, different music, yeah.
Yes, yeah, no, good choice. I approve. You've got my tick of approval for taste in music there.
Yeah, well, I've certainly got longevity anyway, that's, if nothing else.
Now, I was going to ask you whether you're a cats or dogs man, but given you've got Lulu, probably dogs.
Probably, well, at the moment anyway, we've had cats at home, first dog we've had at home. But
is this your first dog?
Yeah, well, ironically, in my, not that long ago, I actually was involved with greyhound racing, and I've had shares in a few greyhounds over the years. But not as family pets, of course. But so this one's a family pet.
Oh, so what made you get a dog?
Well, I just came home one day and there was one there. But it sort of worked out like that. But I think this one actually stemmed from the fact my daughter had a, they'd just got a little dog, much the same actually, and Debbie thought it was a good idea, so she went and bought one.
Yeah, nice. They're lovely companions, dogs, aren't they?
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
Does she sleep on the bed yet?
Yeah, I've got to confess that sometimes she's on the foot of the bed, but the rest of the time she's in a donut pillow on the floor.
Oh, yeah. Well done. Yeah. See, I made the mistake when my little dog got fixed, and I felt really sorry for her, so I let her on the bed for the first time, and she's still on it.
Yeah. Lying on your feet, you can't turn over.
You can't turn over, you can't wake the baby.
That's it, yeah.
Now, Neil, what's your favourite place in Taranaki?
Well, it's, I should say automatically Stratford.
Definitely Stratford.
I suppose one place I went to just recently, and I just reminded me of how beautiful it was. I went up to Taranaki Maunga and went up to the new bridge across the Maunganui Gorge and just been up there for half a day, and on a beautiful clear day you could see for miles across the region, and just the sheer beauty and tranquility of it, I've got to say that's a very special place. And for those of us who live here and can almost reach out and touch it, sometimes we just kind of forget what we've got on our doorstep. I guess that's certainly one of them, just being up there, just enjoying just what it is.
Yeah.
But also quite like going to a few little beach campsites here and there.
Yes.
And, you know, we spent a lot of time at Yirrinui Beach when we were younger with the family, and I've got a sort of soft spot for that. And if you want to go somewhere where it's a bit out of the way and there's not too many people there and you can just sit there and blob out if you choose. Down at Waitotara Beach, Waiunu, is hardly anyone goes there. No one knows about it. There's not very much there, but perfect if you just want to go and chill out for a day and and do nothing. Yeah.
Oh, lovely. I'm going to do that this summer holiday season with my little boy.
Yeah.
We've got your holiday hotspots. I love that.
Yeah, well, there's a couple, but there's, But we've got a camper van, and when I get the chance, we do try and travel around a bit,
Oh, cool. Yeah. That's the dream. I want a camper van one day or a gypsy wagon.
Yeah.
Take Lulu with you?
She's been a few times, Cute. It's okay. That's one of the things, actually, when you've got a van, you've got to have a, you don't tend to stay in campsites so much because they often don't allow dogs.
That's exactly right.
But we don't always venture far, but it's just the fact that you get away and a bit of fresh air.
I think especially when you're in public office as well, it's important to be able to get away and get that fresh air.
Yeah, you often run into people and they'll say things to you like, you know, what do you do for a living or where do you work? I seldom tell them that I'm a mayor.
What do you tell them, Neil?
I'm usually honest enough to say I work for council, but I don't say what I do.
Nice. So you're not, I own this massive company.
No.
I'm a spy for the FBI.
If you go down that track, you're just as likely to run into some other guy that knows more about it than you do, you know. So, no, I don't like getting caught out like that.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
So you're saying you do a bit of travel outside of mahi when you're not at work. What, any other hobbies that you really enjoy?
Well, I don't get a lot of time to do much these days,
so.
But when I get a chance, I enjoy fishing, which is good.
Oh, cool.
When I'm at home, if I've got not much else to do, I don't mind. I like pottering around and outside and doing a bit of stuff in the garden. And I like to have a little project on hand all the time. So that's good. I like building things, actually. It's really rewarding, you know.
I've noticed my son, he's 5, his favourite place to be at home is in the shed building something with his dad, which is kind of cute. Like, it's adorable. So I've got all these wonky shelves and a couple of trays. And
I've got a few like that too. But, but yeah, building things and doing little projects is good. So
Good for the soul. I like that. Now, you have, this is going to be your last term. What are you thinking are going to be the big issues for council this next 3 years?
Well, I think there's a number, Taryn. The thing that came up, I guess, most often during the election campaign was about increases in rates and trying to get rates control, costs under control. So we'll be putting in a fairly solid effort there to try and keep rate increases to a minimum. I'm very reluctant to use the word sustainable because I don't actually believe that the current system is capable of delivering sustainable rates.
Yeah.
It's something needs to change, and it needs to change big time. And but in the meantime, we have to work with what we've got. So that'll be... that's going to be a big challenge for all councils, actually, over the next few years. And, of course, local water done well. Since I last spoke to you, we've had our plan approved for a local business unit.
Yes, I saw that. Congratulations. So,
yeah, thank you. And we're going to have to work our way through that and get that up and running. The target date for it to become fully functional is July 2027.
Okay, so you've got a bit of time. About halfway through your...
Yeah, so we've got about 12 months or so of setting up and planning stuff, and then there'll be a little bit of implementation time before we go live in 2027.
Does it require more staffing?
It hopefully shouldn't make too much difference. There's a lot more planning involved, and even since the decision was made, the monitoring body known as Taumata Arawai, they've already changed some of the rules, and there's a lot more planning and reporting required than what was suggested earlier on. So it'll be an evolving thing, but and some of the standards already have changed to higher. And so we'll just work our way through that. But I think most of the council staff that work in this area will transfer to the new business unit and be part of that. And whether we need additional people over and above that might depend a little bit on the workload. But more importantly, once it's set up, then that should taper off a fraction.
And if I remember correctly, no one in Taranaki is going in together, right? But you will be
not
kind of, you'll be helping each other when you can, sort of thing?
Well, there's still opportunity for working collaboratively. New Plymouth's opted for a council-controlled organisation, which is independent of council, whereby Stratford and South Taranaki are looking at in-house models.
Yes.
But we've made it clear that we still want to work together, and there's obvious things there we can do around sharing staff training, for example, and sharing knowledge there. There's obviously some gains to be had out of joint procurement, and that can apply to everything from software to water meters to pipes. and all sorts of services that need to be provided. So there's a lot of scope there, and we'll be exploring that.
Yeah, cool. That's good to know. We like to keep our Taranaki team tight and in tip-top shape.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And I guess the other thing that it's imminent any time between now and Christmas, the government is intending to announce the changes to the Local Government Act.
Oh, with the wellbeing?
Yeah, yes. So that announcement is pending, and obviously the wellbeings are going.
Mm.
What it is they replace them with is the trick, and we'll look forward to seeing that and any other responsibilities that they might that might come with the changes.
Any other responsibilities they might transfer over to council.
Yeah, so let's just wait and see on that one, but we'll know by Christmas. And then, of course, the other one sitting on the horizon there is rates capping, which has been pretty clear the government intends to proceed with that. And if that's the case, we'll be looking at the challenges that that's going to bring for us.
Mm. I think, personally, I think the idea of rates capping is... makes it seem like it's a council problem, and councils, we're going to cap council rates because they're not doing their job or whatever. Mm. But really, I think that's a bit of a stretch because central government keeps giving many more responsibilities to local government.
Yeah, they do. I mean, it's called unfunded mandates is the technical term for it.
I like that.
All the parties do it. It's not like it's unique to one lot. They're all as guilty as each other, if you like. But when they make rulings or change things, that comes at a cost, and that cost is generally unfunded, which means that it has to be absorbed by ratepayers, and therefore it's a key driver in pushing rates up. And then when they go up, then, of course, everybody wants to blame the council, including the government, who are actually part of the cause. So that's a vicious cycle. It just goes round and round and round. But, we keep drawing attention to it. And from time to time we have a minor win. But I think there's no sign in the future that says that they're ever going to stop doing that. That's just the way it is.
But, which is unfortunate, because as you said before, it's the system that needs changing.
It's the system, And in terms of the rates capping, I mean, if the threshold is set at a certain amount, however they calculate that or whoever does the calculation, I mean, if they, put really strong restraints on that, then councils need to ask, how do we make up the funding shortfall?
Yes.
And if you end up borrowing for it, well, you're actually just putting off the inevitable, and it costs people money. So the alternative is to find efficiencies. Well, that might be possible for a little while, and then all of a sudden you don't find enough efficiencies.
You can't find them anymore because you've
you can defer
them.
Work, which creates this bow wave and deficit of infrastructure going forward, and or cut services. And so, depending on where those thresholds are set, that's the key part of this. It could be really problematic, and then in other cases you might be artificially low with your rates now and find that it's actually not a problem. Who knows? We'll wait and see.
And do we have any idea, with the wellbeings and rate caps, when they're likely to roll out?
They're certainly going to make announcements between now and Christmas.
When they come into effect, I mean, sorry.
Generally, if they're changing a law, like, for example, the Local Government Act, generally speaking, that takes about 6 months to go through
six
the parliamentary
months.
Process,
okay. Yeah.
Give or take.
That doesn't seem like a lot in the world of local government and how long it can take.
No, it's not. Well, I'll have a consultation period, but I anticipate that'll be quite short. And then it has to go through the House, and there's a process for that to follow. So.
Interesting, because removing the wellbeings can potentially change quite a bit for councils.
Yeah.
You've got people who have just been elected who might have ideas or things they want to achieve? And
I think I'm right in saying this, but the wellbeings have been taken out, put in twice by Labor and taken out three times now by National if they go this time
around. I didn't realise that.
So,
so you'll just consult what you did last time. And
well, you hardly got time to implement the change, actually, and it changes again. But,
yeah.
I mean, they were gone as a result of the John Key government, and then Labor put them back in when they were came to power. And now these guys are going to take them out again. So it's just a roller coaster ride. But every time they make that change, it costs because we have to go and look at plans again and revise things, and that will cost staff time and effort and ultimately money.
Yeah. It's all right. We'll just give you a rates cap and you'll be sweet.
Yeah.
Now, something else I read on the Stratford District Council's website recently was you guys have had a bit of a spate of plant theft. Someone's stealing all your garden plants in Stratford. You're planting them out and people are taking them out and I presume taking them home and planting them in their garden. Is that what's going on?
Well, that was actually news to me when I saw that same piece of information. Off and on we've had that problem in the past with the odd newly planted shrub or something being taken. And obviously there's been a bit of spate of that of late. They take them sometimes out of the parks where they've just been replanted, or in other cases even out of those sort of traffic islands and planted things, which are generally in fairly high profile places.
Yeah, so, and high traffic areas
too.
Yeah,
and often with security cameras present, but nevertheless, they still do it. And, you know, it's not a massive problem, but it's more of a nuisance problem in the sense that, you know, we go to good efforts and make serious attempts to try and keep things looking good.
Yes.
And then the staff organise these things. We have contractors and so on, and there's a cost. And then you can go there the next day and find that, you know, number of plants have been taken.
Yeah.
And in most cases, they're fairly new plants that you just can really just give them a bit of a tug and they'll come out of the ground. And what they do with them is anybody's guess, but you would only assume that they're probably planting them at their place.
Or that's black market Facebook.
Yeah. I don't know how you sell stolen shrubs on online, but
we'll have a look when we get home.
Yeah,
they were saying it was over the last couple of months it's been $2,000
I saw that figure. Which is
substantial.
A real nuisance, yeah.
I'd love $2,000 to spend at the garden centre.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
It'd be great. Now, what about taking cuttings from council plants? Because I remember as a little girl, we used to go for walks with my grandmother and she'd stop and take cuttings over neighbours' fences and at Brooklands Park and lots of places. Do you have any insight?
I don't really, but I guess if, in comparison to stealing the whole plant, I guess that's a better option. But probably in practical sense, in most cases, it probably doesn't cause too much of an issue.
Yeah.
But I think there's probably a rule that says you shouldn't. I think just common sense would prevail there.
Interesting. Awesome. Well, we're just about at the end of our half hour, Neil, it's been absolutely lovely having you in the studio again today. Very happy to have you back on board and have your lovely company here for the next 3 years.
Yeah, thank you, Taryn. Enjoyed the chat, and it's nice to be back. And we'll get into some council work and we'll have some really good council stuff to talk about.
Yeah, we will. It all kicks off in the new year, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, we've got our committees and all that kind of stuff set up, so we're ready to go. We've only got another two meetings between now and Christmas, and they'll be fairly routine, and then after that we get into the annual plan processes.
That's always exciting.
Away we go. Yep.
Awesome. I look forward to hearing all about it. Neil, thanks so much for coming in today.
Cheers. Thank you, and we'll see you again.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.